إِنَّمَا وَلِيُّكُمُ اللَّهُ. Indeed, your friend, your protector is Allah, وَرَسُولُهُ, and His Messenger. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and those who believe. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةَ, those who establish salah. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةَ, and give zakah. وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ, and they bow down. وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and whoever takes Allah, His Messenger, and those who have believed as friends, as protectors, فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ, then the party of Allah are the true victors. When we read these ayat, what do we realize? Allah is telling us that don't mess up your priorities. Get your priorities right. Who should be the most important being in our lives? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It starts with Allah. Secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are told in Islam that our iman cannot be complete until we truly love him more than ourselves, our children, our wealth, more than the rest of mankind. Do we love him like that? We don't even know anything about him. Forget loving him like that. And then, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, and those who believe. The Muslims are supposed to be like two hands washing each other. The Muslims are supposed to be supporting each other. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. The believers are brothers, helping one another, supporting one another. Allah says, these are your true friends. الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَاةِ, those who establish salah. That is Allah's right upon us. وَيُؤْتُونَ الزَّكَاةِ, who are giving zakah. They're fulfilling human rights upon them as well. وَهُمْ رَاكِعُونَ, this is their attitude towards Allah. They submit. They bow down. They surrender themselves. They don't just say, well, let me think about it. They surrender. سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, we hear and we obey. Allah says, whoever takes Allah, His Messenger, and those who have believed as protectors, فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ, then the party of Allah, they are the true victors. They are the true winners. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, "Bada al-Islamu ghariba." When Islam started, people found it strange. They found it weird. وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا, and towards the end of time, again people will find it strange and weird. فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرُبَاءِ, there is good news for those who are strangers, for those who are regarded as misfits by society, who might be labeled weirdos because of their outfits, or because of their beliefs, or because of their speech. People who label them fanatics or fundamentalists. فَطُوبَى لِلْغُرُبَاءِ, there is good news for the strangers. Now the choice is ours. Which path do we wish? The path of social success in this world or success in the hereafter? فَإِنَّ حِزْبَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْغَالِبُونَ, Allah says, join my party, join my group, only then can you succeed. And Allah goes on to say, O you who believe, take not as helpers those who take your religion as a mockery and fun from among those who received the book before you. See how the verses are linked. First Allah told us that only the hypocrites run after the non-Muslims. Then Allah told us about the ideal ummah, the ummah that we should strive to be. Only then can we become kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. Now Allah talks about defending those people who are making fun of our deen. Nor from among the disbelievers. Wattaqullah, and fear Allah. In kuntum mu'mineen, if you indeed are true believers. Why? What happens? When we are hanging out with people who are making fun of Islam, who are making fun of hijab, what happens? Instinctively, in our subconscious, we develop a fear of hijab and we develop a fear of obeying Allah. Why? Because we're afraid that we'll become a laughing stock, that our friends will make fun of us, our friends won't want to meet us anymore. So Allah says, stay away from such people who can harm your religion, who can harm your thinking. Wattaqullah, it's a matter of loyalty. To whom do we owe more loyalty? To Allah or to those people who are busy mocking Islam? Because when people make fun of hijab, they are making fun of Allah. When people make fun of someone with a beard, they are mocking the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah says, be conscious of Allah, in kuntum mu'mineen, if you indeed are true believers. Allah gives us an example of how they make our thinking messed up. إِذَا نَعْبَيْتُ مِنَ الصَّلَاةِ, when you proclaim the call for salat, اتخذوها هزوا ولعبا, they take it but as a mockery and a fun. They make fun of the azan. And we find many people doing that, making fun of azan, making fun of salat. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ, this is because they are people who are not using their brains. And this is really interesting. These people pride themselves on their sophistication. Allah says they're not using their brains. Now Allah mentions azan over here. We find in Bukhari a narration of how the azan was started in Kitabul Azan, Sahih Bukhari. This story is most beautifully described by Hal Craig
in his book Bilal in the following extract.
We were all discussing, arguing how best to call the faithful to their prayer. Why not use a bell? The Christians have bells. A drum? There's too much blood in a drum. A horn like the Jews? A trumpet? We fell silent. Nobody was satisfied. Then I saw Abdullah bin Zaid, one of the helpers, coming forward, slowly, shyly, inch by inch. I saw at once that he had something to say, so I gave him my space next to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I had a dream, messenger of God, he began, and in this dream, I heard the human voice calling us to prayer, an ordinary human voice. I looked quickly at Muhammad and saw the tears had come into his eyes. He leaned towards Abdullah. Yes, it will be so. Your dream was from God. It will be as you say, the human voice. He spoke so gently that I knew his word was the last word. It was settled, but what voice? Whose and how spoken? A soft voice? A sweet voice? My mind was racing in the possibility of choices. A child's, a woman's, an old man's, a soldier's, a singer's, a scholar's. When I felt and I saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hand on my shoulder, your voice, Bilal. I did not at first take in what he said. When I felt his hand on my shoulder, I jumped up without knowing why. My old instincts as a slave, which are hard to lose, had taught me to start moving even before understanding. I saw every face in the mosque turn towards me, and then it dawned. But I, who was to become the voice of Islam, had nothing to say. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam stood up and looked me in the face, as only he could look at a man. You have the best voice, Bilal. Use it. Messenger of God, what will I say? Praise God. Declare his messenger. Call to prayer. Praise God, that is all, and all is enough. When the crown of his life is thrust upon a man, he does not always want it. Even Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, when he received his call, hid under blankets. I don't compare myself, only to say that I too wanted blankets, but there were none, no place to hide, no avoidance. Go up now and call them from up there, the Prophet said. I looked to where he was sending me, a mud roof near the mosque. You all have seen your minarets, how graceful the steps, how secure the balconies, how good the elevation. A Muslim can keep his breath in the climb and the first glint of the horizon. But when I climbed to make the first call, I had to go up as best I could, by pulling myself up, hand, belly, knee and foot. And even then, I was still below the palm trees, yet below me the upturned faces. God knows that I, Bilal, the first Muslim, can tell you about faces, and how looking up to you they can lift you. The climbs were often dizzy, but the faces would never let you fall. Prophet raised his hands towards me in a lifting gesture, both encouraging me and telling me to begin. Praise God, declare his messenger, call to prayer, praise God, he had said, that was to be the order. I turned away and thought, then I threw back my head into the depth of my voice. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, God is most great, God is most great. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, I witness that there is no God but Allah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, I witness that Muhammad is the messenger of God. Hayya ala salah, hayya ala salah, come to prayer, come to prayer. Hayya ala al-fala, hayya ala al-fala, come to success, come to success. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, God is most great, God is most great. Every day now, five times a day, through all Islam, you hear those words. Allahu Akbar. When I came down, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought me to sit nearest him. The people flowed around us. We made a fine pair, the Prophet of God sitting with the son of the slave. For a long time he said nothing, and I admit that I too was lost in a mystery of my own. Then he had to go and lead the prayers. Thereupon, in the company of all those people who had come into the mosque in answer to my call, I prostrated myself before God. I, Bilal, had achieved my life. This is azan, the first azan. And when you proclaim the call for salat, they take it as a fun. They make fun of it. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ لَا يَعْقِلُونَ This is because they are a people who do not use their intellect. Say, O people of the book, do you criticize us for no other reason than that we believe in Allah and in the revelation which has been sent down to us and in that which has been sent down before us and that most of you are disobedient? Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the people of the book, shall I inform you of something worse than that regarding the recompense from Allah? Those Jews who incurred the curse of Allah and His wrath, and those of them whom He transformed into monkeys and swines, and those who worship Taghut, false gods, such are worse in rank and far more astray from the right path. Who is Taghut? We've mentioned this earlier. When we obey, when we follow anyone other than Allah, for instance, it's time for Salat, but I don't feel like praying, I'm tired, so I remain sleeping, I'm worshipping my own nafs over Allah. Allah says, such people who obey others rather than obeying Allah, such are worse in rank and far more astray from the right path. When they come to you, they say, we believe, but in fact they enter with disbelief and they go out with the same. وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْتُمُونَ. And Allah knows all that they were hiding. And you see many of them hurrying towards sin and transgression and eating haram. Again and again this is coming up, eating haram. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ طَيِّبٌ لَا يَقْبُلُ إِلَّا طَيِّبًا. Allah is pure, He only accepts that which is pure. If someone's livelihood is haram, his du'as are not accepted, his sadaqat are not accepted. Evil indeed is that which they have been doing. لولا ينهاهم الربانيون والأحبار عن قولهم الإثم وأكلهم السحت لبئس ما كانوا يصنعون. Why do not the rabbis and the religious learned men forbid them from uttering sinful words and from eating illegal things? Evil indeed is that which they have been performing. Now this is very important. This is the concept of nahi anil munkar, stopping that which is wrong. See, these days the creed is live and let live and don't force anyone and, you know, you should just let everyone do whatever they wish to do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us something different. Ad-deen al-nasiha. The Prophet said, deen is sincerity, deen is well-wishing. None of you can truly believe until he loves for the other what he loves for himself. If we are seeking Jannatul Firdaus for ourselves, we should seek that for others as well. Not just selfishly restricted to ourselves. We find in the hadith that once Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told the angels to go and destroy a valley in Bani Israel and the people were disobeying Allah. Now it's Allah's law that if there are any good people in a certain place, then that place is not destroyed until they leave. So when the angels went there to destroy it, they discovered to their astonishment that there was one house there belonging to a man who spent all his time worshipping Allah. So they came back and said, but you know Allah, there's a man over there and he's spending all his time worshipping you. And Allah said to them, destroy his house first. Start with his house. Why? Because he never stops the people. He was just concerned with his own fate. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us to care for others. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَى. The believers are brothers. How do we stop them? We learn from a hadith, whoever amongst you sees something that is wrong, he should stop it, he should alter it with his hand. Hand in Arabic means power and authority. For instance, a mother sees her child doing something wrong. She shouldn't just sit back and think, oh, let the dear little thing discover for himself. She should alter him because it's within her authority to do so. He said, if you don't have that authority, then فَبِلِسَانِهِ, by your tongue, by explaining to people how it is wrong. And if you cannot even do that, sometimes there are situations where you can't even speak out, فَبِقَلْبِهِ, know that it is wrong in your heart. وَذَلِكَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ, and that is the weakest degree of Iman. See, earlier on we read about those believers who are fearlessly obeying Allah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once said, the strong believer is better than the weak believer. وَفِي كُلِّنْ خَيْرٍ, although there is good in both. Now we can decide which category do we wish to be in, the strong believers or the weak believers. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is condemning them that why don't their scholars stop them from uttering sinful words? Think of the conversations we have with our friends. We know that they're saying wrong. We know they're backbiting. It's haram. But it's just too much of a bother to tell them. And besides, they might not want to meet us anymore. So we keep quiet. And we laugh at what they're saying. Why don't the religious learned men stop them from uttering sinful words? Why don't they stop them from earning haram? لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. Evil indeed is that which they are doing. Now these religious scholars aren't uttering sinful words themselves. What is their crime? That they're not stopping others. They're not concerned for others' welfare. The Jews say Allah's hand is tied up. The Jews used to love making blasphemous statements. So when they used to read those verses that, you know, who will give to Allah beautiful loan, they said, Allah's hand is tied up. Allah is so stingy now, Zubillah. May their hands be tied up and may they be accursed for what they have said. Sometimes we too utter blasphemous statements against Allah. People go through problems and they say, I'm angry with Allah. I'm going to ask Allah about this. I'm not going to pray anymore. Allah says, لُعِنُوا بِمَا قَالُوا. They are cursed for what they have said. Every word we utter will either be for us or against us on the Day of Judgment. Nay, both his hands are widely outstretched. He spends as he wills. Indeed, the revelation that has come to you from your Lord increases in most of them obstinate rebellion and disbelief. When they listen to this Quran, they become more stubborn than ever. We have put enmity and hatred amongst them till the Day of Judgment. Every time they kindle the fire of war, Allah extinguishes it. And they strive to make mischief on the earth. And Allah does not love those who make mischief. وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقَوْا. If only the people of the book had believed and been Allah conscious. لَكَفَّرْنَا عَنْهُمْ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ. We would indeed have expiated from them their sins. وَلَأَدْخَلْنَاهُمْ جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ. And we would have admitted them to gardens of paradise. ولو أنهم أقاموا التوراة والإنجيل, and if only they had acted according to the Torah and the Injil and what has now been sent down to them from their Lord, لأكلوا من فوقهم ومن تحت أرجلهم. They would have gotten provisions from above them and from underneath their feet. People say, oh, we don't read the Quran. If you read the Quran, you lose out on the dunya. Allah says, if these people had established and implemented their books, they would have received dunya and the akhirah. They are from among them, people who are on the right course. See, the Quran is not an anti-Semitic discourse that Allah is condemning all the Jews and all the Christians. Allah says, there are people amongst them who are good. وَكَثِيرٌ مِّنْهُمْ سَاءَ مَا يَعْمَلُونَ But many of them do evil deeds. Now, after reading this discourse on the Jews and the Christians, what is the message for us? يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته والله يعصمك من الناس. O messenger, proclaim the message which has been sent down to you from your Lord. Was this responsibility on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's shoulders alone? No, after he died, he conveyed it to us. He handed the torch to us. Now we have been entrusted this responsibility of conveying this message. لتكونوا شهداء على الناس. So we can become witnesses over mankind. And if you do not proclaim this, then you have not conveyed his message. Half the time we too frightened to tell people what Allah has told us in this Quran, even if we know fear keeps us quiet. Allah reassures us, وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ Why are you frightened of people? Why are you frightened that people will shun you, that they won't want to meet you? Allah will protect you from the people. Just try setting out in his path. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَهْدِي الْقَوْمَ الْكَافِرِينَ Indeed, Allah does not guide the people who disbelieve. Again and again we are finding this theme that we need to cut ourselves off from fear of people and connect ourselves to Allah and Allah alone. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people of the book, you have nothing until you act according to the Torah and the Injil and that which has been sent down to you from your Lord. If they are being told this, then what about us? We don't act upon this Quran. And that's why the Muslims are in this state of degradation and oppression everywhere. Because we don't even know what's in the Quran. Indeed, that which has been sent down to you from your Lord increases in most of them obstinate rebellion and disbelief. Now what is our response when we hear the Quran? That sami'na wa ata'na, or no, I can't accept that. That's just too difficult. No, that's impossible. It might have been easy 1400 years ago now, but now times are different. Allah says this Quran increases in most of them obstinate rebellion and disbelief. Disbelief means disobedience. فَلَا تَأْسَ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ Allah dismisses them. Don't grieve over the people who disbelieve. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَادُوا وَالصَّابِئُونَ وَالنَّصَارَى مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ Indeed, those who believe, and those who are the Jews, and the Sabians, and the Christians, whoever believes in Allah in the last day and does good deeds, on them shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. Now, I mentioned earlier that this ayah does not mean that you just have to believe in Allah in the last day and that's it, you're entering into Jannah. This ayat is simply a summary of Iman, belief in Allah in the last day. And in several places in the Quran, we have already read a detailed description of Iman. Iman in Allah means Iman in Allah, in His prophets, in His books, in the Day of Judgment, in His angels, and in destiny. But here we find something beautiful. As always, when Allah mentions Iman, He links it to doing good deeds. Iman in itself is not enough to grant us Jannah, and nor are good deeds in themselves enough to grant us Jannah. We need both. For such people shall there be no fear, nor shall they grieve. Indeed, we took the covenant of the children of Israel and sent messengers to them. Whenever there came to them a messenger with what they themselves desired not, a group of them they called liars and others among them they killed. They thought there will be no trial, so they became blind and deaf. After that Allah turned to them with forgiveness. Yet again many of them became blind and deaf. وَاللَّهُ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ And Allah is seeing whatever they do. Indeed, those people have disbelieved who say Allah is the Messiah, son of Maryam. Those people who claim that Isa alayhi salam was the direct manifestation of God. But the Messiah said, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ O children of Israel, worship Allah, my Lord and your Lord. At no point did he say, my father. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ Whoever sets up partners, whoever does shirk with Allah, then Allah has forbidden paradise for him. وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ And the fire will be his abode. Now these are Allah's words. People say, you know, how can you say that the Jews and the Christians will go to hell? We are not saying these words. It's not for us to pass judgment. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not allowed to pass judgment. But Allah is stating the principle here that if any human being is committing shirk, and there are different categories of shirk. There's one aspect of shirk when we grant divinity to a human being. For instance, when people say that Isa alayhi salam is the son of God or he is God, that's one aspect of shirk. Another aspect of shirk is when we attribute divine qualities to a human being. For instance, when people pray to Hazrat Ali for children, they are trying to call him the creator. When people pray to messenger or any good person who's now died for risk or for blessings in their wealth or for blessings in their children, that's another category of shirk. A third category of shirk is when we believe that all that befalls us is coming from anyone other than Allah. To believe in astrology, to believe in superstitions, in chain letters, in lucky numbers or unlucky numbers, to believe in black cats, all of this is shirk. And Allah says, مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ Whoever does shirk with Allah, فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ Allah has made Jannah haram upon him. And these days there's an Islamic chain letter which is circulating on the net, and some of you might have come across it. And in that letter it goes about this man who had a dream about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. At the end of the letter they've said that if you don't make 20 copies of this letter and give it to everyone, then you know you can expect to die in 9 days time. I think it's a month since I tore that letter up, and alhamdulillah I'm still alive. وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنصَارٍ And for the wrongdoers there are no helpers. Surely those people have committed kufr who say Allah is the third of the three, negation of Trinity. وَمَا مِنْ إِلَٰهٍ إِلَّا إِلَٰهٍ وَاحِدٍ There is no God except Allah, one God alone. And if they do not desist from what they say, indeed a painful torment will befall the disbelievers among them. أَفَلَا يَتُوبُونَ إِلَى اللَّهِ وَيَسْتَغْفِرُونَ There's so much love in these words. Why don't they turn with repentance to Allah? Why don't they ask Allah's forgiveness? وَاللَّهُ غَفُورُ رَحِيمٌ For Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. See, after reading that ayat on shirk, and people say, how cruel, why should they be thrown into hell? Allah says, why don't they turn with repentance to Allah? Now is the time for repentance, not on the day of judgment when we see Allah and realize the truth. Why don't they repent to Allah and ask His forgiveness? For Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. As Allah tells us in Surah Zumar, يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَصْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنُتُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ O my slaves who have wronged themselves, do not ever despair of the mercy of Allah. For Allah is of forgiving, most merciful. The Messiah, son of Maryam, was no more than a messenger. Many were the messengers that passed away before him. His mother was a truthful woman. They both used to eat food. Why did Allah mention they both used to eat food? Because obviously Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free from all human needs. This is an obvious proof in itself that Isa alayhi salam was a human being with human needs and human wants. Look how we make the science clear to them. أَنَّا يُؤْفَكُونَ Yet look how they are deluded away from the truth. قُلْ أَتَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَمْلِكُ لَكُمْ ضَرًّا وَلَا نَفْعًا Say to them, do you worship besides Allah something which has no power either to harm or benefit you? But it is Allah who is the all-hearer, all-knower. There's no sense in shirk. Tawheed is logic. Tawheed is harmony. And shirk is confusion and disorder. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O people of the book, la taghlu fi deenikum. Do not exceed the limits in your religion other than the truth. And do not follow the vain desires of people who went astray before and who misled many and strayed themselves from the right path. Those among the children of Israel who disbelieved were cursed by the tongues of Dawood and Isa, son of Maryam. Why were they cursed? That was because they disobeyed, number one, and were ever transgressing beyond bounds, number two. Number three, كانوا لا يتناهون عن منكر فعلوه And they used not to forbid one another from the wrong which they did. Allah is telling us that deen is collective. If one man is sitting in the boat and making a hole, all are going to drown. So Allah says that for this crime, that they weren't interested in helping one another spiritually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had them cursed through the messengers. لَبِئْسَ مَا كَانُوا يَفْعَلُونَ Allah says, vile indeed was that which they used to do. You see, many of them taking the disbelievers as their close friends. Evil indeed is that which their own selves have sent forward before them. For that reason Allah's wrath fell upon them, and in torment they will abide. وَلَوْ كَانُوا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَالنَّبِيِّ وَمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْهِ مَتَّخَذُوهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءَ وَلَكِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ Had they believed in Allah and in the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and in what has been revealed to him, never would they have taken the disbelievers as close friends. In other words, friendship is part of our iman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-mar'u ma'amana habba." A man will be with those he loves on the day of judgment. So we should beware. Allah says, had they truly had iman, they would not have run after the disbelievers as their close friends. What then happened? وَلَكِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِّنْهُمْ فَاسِقُونَ. But most of them are disobedient. لَتَجِدَنَّ أَشَدَّ النَّاسِ عَدَاوَةً لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا الْيَهُودَ وَالَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. Indeed, you will find the strongest amongst people in hatred for the believers are the Jews and those who do shirk. وَلَتَجِدَنَّ أَقْرَبَهُمْ مَوَدَّ. And you will find the nearest in love to the believers, those who say, "Inna Nasara." Indeed, we are Christians. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ مِنْهُمْ قِسِّيسِينَ وَرُهْبَانَا وَأَنَّهُمْ لَا يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ. This is because amongst them are priests and monks, and they are not proud. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.